Well, I'll tell you, we haven't got to the point where she's in those days, then she would be interviewed in that room,
yes,
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Then she'd go into the clinic room where the nurse would help her to undress and put her on the couch, and then you would go in and examine her. If she wore a cap, you would check. This was in the old days, but of course with the pill days, things changed because the nurse had always taken the blood pressure, she weighs the patients, it's a regular routine. She tests the urine at a lot of clinics.
But all this wasn't done in the early days.
That built up with the patient.
Yes,
but
yes.
Anyway, you examined her, you advised her, and then you wrote out what she needed, and she went to the office and obtained what she required. And now at the clinic that I've done all these years for the Institute of Child Health, it was run differently. Very rarely had a family planning trained nurse. I had a nurse who took blood pressures, weighed patients, took a minor history, and then I dealt with them right through in my own room.
Actually feel that you, ideally, in the ideal world, should have done the interviewing as well? And clearly the whole arrangement of the Boswell Road Clinic is
Well, not at the clinic, because you could never have the time.
No, ideally...
In fact, no, I wouldn't say that, because I think at clinics what has grown up is a team.
Yes.
The nurse and the doctor and whoever does the interviewing, and this can work extremely well if you've got a good nurse with whom you can, you know. And in fact, at the Islington Clinic, which used to be the Cecil Boyson, I have an excellent nurse with him. And the work is much more divided. It's done differently now. The nurse sees them all before they come in to me, and she makes a little note about the history. Anything about the blood pressure or whatever, or the weight, whatever it is. And very often she will repeat the pill, and they only come in and see the doctor every 6 months or so, or where she feels they need to, or whether the doctors ask them. If you've got a good nurse, you work as a team, and she does a lot of the work, and if you've got a good nurse, she's also very warm, therefore she has the time to talk to them, so they're between you. You're able to give them a more personal attention.
As you said at the beginning, the early interviewers were amateurs, weren't they?
Now they don't have them anymore. Everybody is a paid.
But it must have been very difficult in the early days, wasn't it, having an amateur interviewer and yourself?
Well, it depended, you see. Very soon after, as time went on, they had more and more training, how to interview and so on.
With your guidance or not?
No, they had all kinds of courses that were around with doctors lecturing them and psychologists and so on. And some of them became very professional. In fact, at Islington, the staff, is partly now who works there, were people who were originally working as...
Is that so?
Yes,
The actual equipment you'd have in the room then would just really be furniture, plus cards, plus a speculum perhaps,
There would be a whole variety of speculums.
Would there?
There would be slides for taking cervical smears and all the equipment.
In the Boswell Road Clinic or similar types of...
No, in the Boswell Road it was at that time, it was in the clinic room, all that equipment.
Yes.
And then the doctor's room. And then I think we started afterwards having a couch in the doctor's room, so you did the preliminary examination in there, and then the nurse had to teach him. I really can't remember.
Yes.
We went through so many phases of trying to improve on privacy, individuality, always. We had a group of doctors who were all very keen on all this, and we had our doctors' meetings regularly. We discussed all this. We did at Marie Stopes. We used to have doctors' meetings with nurses. At Marie Stopes, interestingly enough, she believed in the nurses doing more of the work and the doctors being more...
Why was that? Just to save the doctor's time?
No. She had an idea, and it was very interesting. The nurses were... It's a more relaxed atmosphere very often. They took a lot of time. The patient didn't feel such a disadvantage and so on. In the old days when Marie Stopes was there, which was quite a good idea. She had a whole lot of rules where the nurses were not allowed to give advice without being referred to the doctor. And those were the days, of course, of the caps when Marie Stopes was alive. But that tradition of the nurses taking a large part of the work had a lot to be said for it. You know, and it's coming in again. The nurses are doing a lot of the work. It's going to evolve into the nurses doing most of the work and the doctors being the sort of... the cover, the responsibility taker, the, you know, making of the... It's game changing.
Mm. That's interesting. I mean, there must have been a major problem from a social class point of view very early days, wasn't there, between the class of the woman who came in the Goswell Road Clinic or wherever, and the class of the doctor. I mean, this is much less of a problem now than it must have been at
the first. In what way do you mean?
Well, in the sense that presumably a working class woman would be very much more embarrassed in the presence of a middle class doctor than she would with somebody of her own social class,
for instance. Don't forget that all doctors were middle class. So whenever she went to a doctor, she expected... She had an image of what the doctor would be like, which was much more to the point. That is, to some of them, where the parental figure was very terrifying, the doctor was seen as somebody very threatening and authoritarian, of whom they were very nervous. And others would see the doctor as somebody benevolent, would be kind. This is what I said, when the stage is set, your patient comes in and gives you the cue. I remember a patient once telling me that she'd been to a clinic, and it was awful because the doctor and the nurse wore a white coat and they looked like butchers. Now, that doctor wouldn't have had much chance, would they, to be very... And you, it happens to you over and over again that you realize that patients put you in a certain role which isn't your role at all.
How would you overcome embarrassment personally when you, in these early days, with a Goswell
Road? Exactly the same way as you always do when you have every patient's a patient you've got to understand in some way. You've got your feelers out and you do your best to put a person
in. But would you, for instance, put on a white coat or would you...
I used to wear white coats, yes.
Did you?
Yes. Mm.
Because it must be extremely difficult to break down these sort of...
Well, look, you're now talking about medicine. You're not talking about the family planning movement or the feminist movement. You're talking about the problems that every doctor has be their patient.
Yeah.
And that is a very big subject, and it's not the one you're after.
No, but it is a problem that very much arises, isn't it, in that
Well,
case.
It arises... The non-communication between doctors and patients is a big problem, which a lot of doctors devote a lot of time to trying to learn about. Mm. Have you ever heard of Dr. Barland?
Yes, I have.
Well,
yes,
you see, that was I trained with Dr. Barland.
Yes,
you see,
he's the...
But he had the general practitioner groups. And there's a big... If you're interested, they're going to have a conference this September in London, an international conference. This is where the doctors are particularly occupied with the communication between the patient and the doctor. And Barling said the doctor was part of the medicine, as well as the bottle, you see.
You mean the actual conversations?
Well, actually what he gave of himself, what he was able to bear